Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cystine Duckworth, and I am with you from Phoenix, Arizona. We have a beautiful morning. I don't know what the afternoon's going to look like because I'm trying to keep a positive attitude if it's 100 degrees or more. But anyway, welcome to Living Vertical, and our program is A Taste of Ink Live on Saturday. And today we are interviewing T.L. Begette. He is the author of Good Looking, a Joe Turner Mystery. And T.L. Begette is a criminal defense attorney turned writer located in Oakland, California, one of my favorite places. And most of his practice involves defending accused murderers. His outlook on the criminal justice system needs for a reform, the unbalanced jury selection process, and his fight for those receiving harsher sentences than they deserve is what fuels his writing. Begette's writing is inspired by his time, over 20 murder cases he has tried in the courtroom, and his skill is in delivering closing arguments and presenting the stories of his clients to the jury make him a master storyteller. Kirkus Reviews call T.L. Begette's Good Looking a rigorous, thoroughly engrossing mystery from a writer with immense potential. And I would have to agree with that, reading through Good Looking. I actually didn't want to put it down, and I will get a chance to finish later. But great book. And if you're a mystery lover, you're going to love this book. So let's welcome author T.L. Begette. Hi, T.L. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, as I said, the book was really a great read, and it was so interesting that you're in Oakland, California, and you are a criminal defense lawyer. So tell me a little bit about why you wanted to write this book.
Well, I've always loved writing, and the practice of law, although there's plenty of writing to be done, there's not a lot of room for creativity. In fact, legal writing discourages creativity. And so when I finally decided to stop procrastinating and put down some of my stories from the courtroom in fiction form, it was very exhilarating.
And I know that you being a lawyer and being in the midst of cases and doing research, that it gave you a lot of great material as well.
Absolutely. The tales from the courtroom are actually often stranger than fiction. And even part of the challenge was when writing it, you know, I'd want to integrate something that actually happened in the courtroom in Oakland. And sometimes I'd ended up concluding that, you know, no one would ever believe that. So you're exactly right. I certainly do have a trove of lots of great actual tales that I can integrate into my writing.
Right, I bet. I'll have to say that it wasn't too far off base for me as you being a lawyer. My mother worked for the sheriff department and had to do a lot of transporting between prisons up at the Bay Area. So I heard a lot of stories growing up.
I bet you did. Yeah. I spend a fair amount of time in jails around the Bay Area visiting my clients. They're not nice places. And they're filled with people who are suffering, and it's just a sort of a breeding ground for drama.
Oh, I bet it is. So in writing this crime fiction, how challenging was it for you to create characters, even though I know you probably have, like I said, this career and then, you know, everything that you've been through, it's probably so many different characters you create, but at the same time, keeping your writing pretty pure. So what were some of the challenges in doing that?
Sure. There were a lot. One was the publisher makes clear that everything has to be fictitious, and you know you're not to use any actual characters in your book. So what I did was take, you know, different characteristics from prosecutors or judges or defense attorneys or jurors that I've run across over the years, I think it makes it realistic. One example was I tried a case once against this prosecutor who he had the habit of tapping his pen twice on the podium after he made every point. You know, isn't it true? Tap, tap. You know, by the end of the trial, I wanted to just leap over the counsel table and strangle that guy. that particular trait made it into the book. And I venture to say that the prosecutor will certainly recognize himself if he ever reads it.
Right. So when you started writing this book, what made you decide you wanted to do a series?
I don't think when I set out to write the first one, I knew it would be a series. The protagonist is a criminal defense attorney, like me. He stresses out about his murder cases, like me. He probably drinks a little bit too much when he stresses out about his murder cases, like me. And so I certainly know the character well, and I felt like it's the protagonist that can support a series. I mean, there's crime at every turn, and there's a challenging case for him to defend at every turn. I'm going to keep writing about Joe Turner until I tire of it, I think.
Right. Okay. So I'd rather you tell a little bit of the synopsis about the book. I'll get too excited about it, and I don't want to give anything away because, as I said, I was reading it, and I really had a hard time putting it down. I will say that I did get to the end of it, but it was like so close to time to do the interview. But I would say that I would be too excited, and I don't want to give anything away. So you can tell our audience a little bit about what the book is about.
Sure. So as I mentioned, the protagonist is a criminal defense attorney, and he takes on the representation of a young black man in Oakland, California. So many of my clients are young black men that have been either committed the crime or caught up in the system in some way. And Joe, who is a white guy, part of it is his struggles to get the young man to trust him. You know, he's the white guy in a suit, and that's not always, I can tell you from firsthand experience, that's not always easy for me. I've gotten better at it over the years, developing a rapport with my clients and getting them to trust me. But so that's part of the book. And the case eventually goes to trial, and I won't give away the ending. There's a parallel story sort of running alongside the murder case, and it follows the life of two twin boys and their travails. The two stories merge toward the end, and there's a fairly dramatic trial scene, and then an interesting twist, I think, at the end that I think is pretty cool. The twins story, you know, I am the father of twin boys myself, and
okay.
I felt like I had, you know, some insight into their mindset. I've always thought it was very cool. Their sort of, you know, unique connection. My twin boys would tell me that I'm still as ignorant about them as ever.
Right.
But I thought it was something that, again, sort of write what you know. So
yeah,
that's why that ended up in the book.
Well, I want to say, the ending is I'll just say it's a trip. I won't say anything about it.
Thanks.
But but I would say that how do you, you know, as a mystery writer, how are you able to, because you're coming from being a lawyer to a writer, what type of techniques or maybe workshops did you take? Because it's so well written for first-time mystery writer. So what type of, you know, what did you do to be able to weave such a great story and at the same time, you know, keep that air of mystery running through it?
Right. Thanks very much for the compliments. You know, I guess my advice, if someone wants to write a successful novel, is to just practice, right? Like anything else. I did a lot of free writing where I would, you know, attempt to describe a scene that I'm looking at. I've learned over the years that being introspective helps a lot in your writing, right? Because, you know, if you know yourself, you know that you're layered, and people are layered, right? You have very few people are just one dimensional. And so I've tried to create characters who are multidimensional. The dialogue is challenging, a really good writer once told me that it was good to read the dialogue out loud to yourself. And if it doesn't sound like something anyone would ever say, right, then you probably need to work on it again. So, this is my first published book. I don't pretend to know all the answers at all. And I'm still learning every day, and that's part of why I like writing so much.
Yeah, I do. I do love writing as well. And it's always when I'm reading an author's book, and I'm always like, wow, this is really great, especially when you're a first-time author, even if you've been writing some things before as well. But I know when I first looked at my first manuscript, I was like, okay, this doesn't even make sense to me. And I was like, oh, I totally get what you're saying about that. So, so who is your favorite, you know, crime or mystery writer? I'm asking you this, but I probably know.
I probably If I had to pick one, I would probably say Agatha Christie. She's just an absolute master storyteller, and you know, I tend to sort of lose myself in her books. If I could name another one, sort of from this era, it would be Louise Penny. She has just her stories are not only great, but I think she's such a great writer and just paints such a wonderful picture for the reader. So those two women, I think, are probably at the top of my list.
What is your usual writing routine?
I guess my routine is to find, a very quiet place. And, my Good Looking was not a well-outlined book. And for that reason, it took me a long time to sort of fit the pieces together. But now I've learned to not a detailed outline, but I draft an outline so that I know where the story is going generally. Still leaving room for, spur of the moment decisions to change the plot. And then I just write without worrying about, punctuation or word choice so much. And then the rewriting process for me is the most fun, because that's when you go back and I can add some imagery or think of funny dialogue or things that make it a good book, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's my
process. Okay. So now, kind of interesting, the ending of the book. Is that how, let me see how I want to say this, because it was really a very good ending. So does, like some writers, the book kind of takes over and writes itself. Did you already think that would be the ending for your book, or is that going to be the, how do I say this? As you write your next book, is that ending meant to go into your next series?
The protagonist will certainly be mindful of the ending. I would say that there will be different characters, but that's a perceptive thought, because the protagonist, Joe Turner, will learn from this experience and this trial, and that will certainly shape his opinions and his sort of mode of operation as he moves on to different cases. It's a good question. As I think of it, I probably will integrate that a little bit more into the next book than I might have already. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. So now, your outlook on the criminal justice system, you have some very passionate beliefs in here. How are you working within those things? I mean, other than being a writer, how are you contributing to some of these changes in the system?
Well, I think, like a lot of causes, the first sort of step is to educate people about what's happening. What's happening is we're just, the California prisons in particular, are just warehousing almost an entire generation of young black men. Some of them have committed heinous crimes, but all of them, right, all of them started out as bright-eyed little kindergartners at some point in their lives. We need to first find out sort of, why this is happening. And then we need to reform the system to create education and rehabilitation for the inmates instead of just locking them up and locking someone up for 20 years like an animal and then releasing them into society and expecting them to be good members of society is completely unrealistic.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so the system, in my view, needs an overhaul.
Right.
So I'm trying to educate people about it, through my writing and I'm still a criminal defense attorney on the front lines, doing what I can to make sure that everyone has a fair trial.
Okay. Well, I also, here in Arizona, I actually volunteer for an organization that helps women coming out of the system. And I think the most shocking, and I know that my mother's worked in the system, practically most of my family, but I think the most shocking for me was I met a lady who had been in prison almost her whole life. She didn't have any kids. She'd been in there almost since she was a teen. And I was meeting her at the age of 70. And she was just coming out. Yeah, she was just coming out. And I think the thing that really shocked me was not just that. It was the fact that she had been in prison and totally didn't know anything about mobile phones, computers, just nothing. And that was just so unreal to realize that for them to have an expectation for someone to come out and be able to start a life with totally no tools at all.
No tools, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no tools at all. So so it's been amazing. The organization I work for, they actually, one of the things that made me want to volunteer with them is that they actually take people through a class that actually goes back and says, when did you make the first wrong decision? And so the transformation from that to the end until they graduate is just so, it's rewarding and it gives you hope and you say to yourself that this really can happen, if we could just show more and more organizations how to do this and how to help these individuals that are coming out of prison.
Right, right. Yeah, thank you for that. That's great work. In my book, I try to sort of illustrate themes that I run across in criminal defense. And one that plays a prominent role in Good Looking is the snitch culture in the city of Oakland.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it is just really, really oppressive, such that I have had clients accused of murder who are innocent, and ultimately, they've been proven innocent. But there have been times when those individuals, even though they know who the real killer was, they would not breathe a word of it for fear that, they would be killed or their family would be retaliated against. And that is just such a pervasive culture in Oakland, and I think in many, many major cities. And it just makes life just completely miserable, right? Because there are lots of good people living in those areas who don't have the protection of the police in any meaningful way.
True.
Because it is known that if you rely on the police, that things will not go well for you. So that's a theme of Good Looking, and that's just one of the many issues that put so many people in the inner city behind the eight ball to begin with.
Well, wouldn't you also say that social media is somewhat as well? An issue, that culture is an issue, because I see a lot of that on social media. I think one of my biggest concerns with social media and media in a sense, and I won't say all media, but I'll say some media, is the ideal of making a person guilty before anything comes out. I've seen that a lot with media coming out and saying they'll find something out about the person and go way back to, I don't know, to the dawn of their life and say they did this wrong. And I just find that, you know, I just find that we're getting more and more to where we're just putting this out in the street and we're just making, we're letting the street decide how a person should be tried. And that's the thing that I find very concerning when it comes to the justice system. That's probably one of my bigger ones. My bigger pet peeve is, you know, and I see a lot of people playing out everything on social media.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, they, because the people who are on social media, you know, flapping their gums about cases that they know nothing about, even the network commentators I find very distasteful when they're commenting on their belief in the innocence or guilt of an individual in the middle of a trial. Because you know that while they have maybe a working knowledge of the case based on just what they've read from other media members, they don't have the knowledge to make informed decisions. Right.
Absolutely.
And furthermore, their interest is not in justice. Their interest is, you know, a soundbite or getting good ratings. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly that the media and social media in particular have no place in the criminal justice system. And they often make it very difficult for individuals to get a fair trial. You're right.
That's true. So what is your next project? I know your next project is your next book, but how deep are you into your next project?
It's fairly deep. I mean, it's the next one, the next Joe Turner mystery is written, at least the first draft. And now the fun part begins. I'm going to go back and add the funny dialogue, and Joe Turner gets to be a completely witty guy, right? Because I have all the time in the world to think of great courtroom lines or great witty comebacks. So I'll add some of that and work on some imagery and really have fun with the rewrite of it. So yeah, I think it should certainly hit the bookstores before the end of the year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, definitely we'll be looking forward to it. I am the type of person, I'll say I'm the type of reader that I'll read books that are recommended to me, not all the time, just depends. But I do, you know, when I read a good book, I just love to see if there's more books there or more books coming to be on my summer reading list, I always say. But looking forward to you having that launch for that book. And so are you looking forward to some of the maybe scheduled events, maybe outside now that the pandemic is kind of pretty much going away enough for us to get out?
Yeah, I am. You know, I didn't obviously write the book to do the book signings, but, you know, I think it'd be pretty fun to do. And I am looking forward to that as we begin to open up a little bit. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, I want to tell you, thank you for being on our program today. And I really am looking forward to your books. And I will say, you know, thank you also for being so passionate about, you know, really giving people a look into the criminal justice system. I know even as a writer, it can be pretty much, you know, my mom used to always tell me that I didn't have to comment on everything. So that just kind of freed me, because I used to be that, I would be that advocate on social media just trying to correct people. And I said, oh, God, Mom, So thank you so much for that, because I would hear say, you don't have to respond to everything. So anyway, but but thank you for, being, forthright and honest about that to write in your book. And also because I can imagine the stress of being a criminal defense lawyer. The first part of your book, when I was reading that, and the part where, he goes home and he pours a drink, I'm like, I can relate to that. There have been appointments when you leave and you're like, I'm just going to go home and do this. So, I really got that part.
Some of my friends are, once in a while they'll say to me, I got this client that's, really driving me crazy. And I think to myself, well, I have a client now who's a homicidal maniac, so I think I probably have you beat.
Right.
But anyway, thank you so much for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, and tell everyone how they can find you, TL. Tell us how we can find you, your website, and are there any in your social media pages where fans can probably find you?
Sure, and I should probably spell my name. So it's TL. The last name is BEQUETTE. You can find me at tlbeckett.com. I'm on Instagram at tlbeckett. And most importantly, I think you can find the book, which is called Good Looking, A Joe Turner Mystery, on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or wherever you like to buy your books.
Okay. And do you have any last thoughts you want to leave us with, our fans?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I would say that, something that I ask juries sometimes in jury selection, if you're driving down the street and you see a black man bent over the hood of a patrol car in handcuffs, I ask them, do you ask yourself, I wonder what that guy did? Or do you ask yourself, I wonder if that guy did anything wrong? I'm just as guilty as everyone. I think we are conditioned to wonder maybe less now in recent events. But, try to give them the benefit of the doubt and think, I wonder if that guy's done anything wrong. So that would be something I think everyone should maybe think about.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. And again, thank you for being on the program. We'll be looking for your new book, and we will be putting this interview in Vertical Life magazine as well. For our fans out there, we'll be able to make sure that you have all of TL's links, a link to the book as well, and we'll be promoting this out even further into our social media. So I would be looking for you to maybe come back again when your second book is out. I would love to have you and talk about that book, TL, when you get a chance to. But today, thank you so much.
I'd love to. Thanks again.
All right. And have a great day. And everyone that's listening, thank you so much for being part of our listening audience. We appreciate you and thank you, because we are now one of the featured radio podcast at Blog Talk Radio, and we appreciate that. That was our fans doing, so thank you so much. And if you have a chance, look for T.L. Beckett's book, Good Looking.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and you have been listening to our host, C.Steen Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalmediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh, books that make you scream, books that make you hope, and books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on booksthatmakeyou.com. Read book reviews. Meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love and enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit booksthatmakeyou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.